Galatians chapter 3. My wife has a midterm exam for those of you who are taking this class for you tonight. Galatians chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 5. And Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Galatians 3, 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So we looked at last time the power that bewitches people in verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? So we looked at last time, those who believe that, well, you accept Jesus and then your flesh has to take over. In other words, if you can commit a sin and lose your salvation, then the equation is not Jesus alone. That equation becomes Jesus plus my continued good works plus my not committing certain sins will result me in heaven. That's a false gospel. So Satan has a flavor of religion or of no religion to everyone. From atheists who will burn the Bible to religious people who will corrupt the Bible through the translation process and looking at faulty manuscripts. So Satan, it's kind of like they used to say of Baskin-Robbins, it had all kinds of flavors of ice cream. Well, Satan has a false doctrine. Satan has a deceit for everything you can imagine out there. His goal is whatever it takes to deceive people. That's his goal. And so he hits it from every single angle. Now, we're down to number 2. Then the promise that guarantees, and that is faith in verse 5, the promise that guarantees. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, the answer is clear. So number 1 under that point, miracles come forth by faith, not by works. When a miracle is needed, that means there's no work that we can do. I appreciate your prayers for me and my back. It's feeling some better this afternoon. And, you know, there are some physical problems that doctors cannot help. You know, we thank the Lord that there are many things that God has allowed doctors to help, like cataracts. You think of in the Bible, Isaac and Jacob, their eyes were dim when they were old and they could not see. Well, that really describes what a cataract does to the eye. It dims the eye by clouding it over. And so we thank the Lord that doctors can do surgery today and remove cataracts. That's a wonderful thing. Or many of us would probably die just like Isaac and Jacob without being able to see anymore. When it comes to a miracle is something that is supernatural, something that is beyond natural, something that is beyond nature. And that, by definition, means that there is no work that we can do. There is no good works that we can do that produce miraculous results. So Galatians 3, 5, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law? Is that person doing miracles by his good works? No, a miracle is beyond any work of man. By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, if you'd like to hold your place here, look at Mark chapter 5. Look at a couple of passages to show the truth of that, that miracles require faith. They're beyond works. If there was something we could work, something we could do, a miracle wouldn't be needed. Mark 5:25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, what? Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. She had gone to many physicians. None of them could help. They did all the works that they could do. Nothing would heal her. She had spent all of her money. I don't know how much she had to work to earn all that money, but all of her working for money couldn't heal her. All that the doctors could work could not heal her. It took faith, faith in Jesus Christ to be healed. What a spiritual lesson that is for us. Look also, please, in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 for another affirmation that when a miracle is needed, there is no work that can be done to do it. Mark 10:46. The Bible says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might what? Receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, what? Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. There was no work that could be done. There was no physician that could heal his eyes. It took faith. And so as we go back to Galatians 3:5, the answer to this question is clear. Galatians 3:5, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? We've talked about these principles. There's no way to do a miracle by works. No one would even ask for a miracle if you could do it by works. So the answer to verse 5 is clear. It's by the hearing of faith. So miracles come forth by faith, not by works. Number 2, righteousness comes forth by faith, not by works. Righteousness comes forth by faith, not by works. Verse 6, even as Abraham, what? Believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And if you hold your place once again here and turn back to Genesis 15, we see what he was quoting there, Genesis 15 and verse 5. So in the same way, it takes a miracle to be born again. You think about just our first physical birth. Isn't it a miracle? It is indeed. Conception is a miracle. Baby coming to term is a miracle. What happens in the heart at birth is a miracle. Going from immersed in water to having to breathe. The changes that take place in the heart. Pumping blood to the lungs now. It's just a miracle. A miracle birth. But in Genesis 15, verse 5. Genesis 15, 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. And he what? Believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Have you ever looked up at the stars at night and thought about this passage? I have so many times. That conversation that Abraham had with the Lord and his promise to him. You know, we just received a request this last week. I forget the city and state. But a young man who is now, I believe, in his 20s. But he said that he was raised in church. But he got away from it all. He never got saved. And he ended up getting married. And I think he said his wife got saved first, and then he did. And the reason he was writing to us, asking for Bible courses, is because he remembered when he was a boy that his parents had our Bible courses in their home. And that's how he thought of us, to write to us asking for Bible courses. And it just made me think of the promises to Abraham here. You know, the seed that you sow, it's worth it to keep sowing it, isn't it? Because we're talking about more than one generation. And I just had to pause and stop and think about that. What an amazing thing. He would write to us because he remembered that his parents had that in their home. I wish he would have received it and learned and got saved while he was yet in his parents' home, but he didn't. But I'm thankful that the Lord prompted him to remember where to go for help. So Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness there. So remember what we saw back in Galatians in chapter 2, Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So if our good works could take away our sins, if the good works of Old Testament people could take away their sins, then Christ would have died in vain. So it clearly shows us that good works cannot bring true righteousness. Number three, adoption comes by faith, not by works. Adoption comes by faith, not by works. Verse 7, Galatians 3:7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are what? The children of Abraham. So when the rich man in hell cried out, Father Abraham, and when the Jewish people today refer to Abraham as their father, even the Muslim people refer to Abraham as their father, but they look at him through Ishmael, not through the promised son Isaac. But we as Christians can rightly so call Abraham our father. Verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of what? Faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So we may not be Jewish physically, but we are spiritually, if we're saved. We're children of Abraham because it was through Christ and Abraham's line, our Savior came. Notice with me in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1:5. And we looked at this. We'll not talk a lot about adoption tonight because we have recently in a message. But Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto what? The adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Isn't it amazing that he would adopt us? It's just amazing. I mean, God created man. Man sinned. Man has rebelled. And because of that, John 8:44, man is born a child of the devil. Ephesians 2:1, we're born in dead in sin, trespasses and sins. It's amazing that the rebels we are, that God would want to adopt us. He'd have every right to say, I don't want you in my family. You turned your back on me. But what a wonderful thing that God has done. He wants to adopt us. He paid the price. Number four, justification comes by faith, not by works. Back in Galatians 3, verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before what? The gospel. The gospel unto who? Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. You know, it was always God's will to save all people. You know, in the New Testament, there's so many wrong ideas and thoughts. But the Jewish people were so arrogant, they looked at the Gentiles as people who could not even be saved. And that was so wrong. I mean, if they look in the Old Testament, what about Ruth? She was a Moabite girl in the line of Christ. What about Bathsheba? A Gentile put in the line of Christ. What about Rahab of Jericho, the harlot? A Gentile put in the line of Christ. If they just would have read their Bibles with understanding, they're too much like the Pharisees, who said, I thank thee, O God, that I am not like other men are, and then has his list. Let's look at 2 Peter 3:9. The fact is that God has always wanted to save all people. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is there any question? I mean, you get the Calvinist who says, oh, it's only Christ only died for the elect. What are you going to do with this verse? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us, we're not willing that who? Any should perish, but that what? All should come to repentance. That's always been his desire. Look at 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 3. 1 Timothy 2, 3. You know, there are some signs around Michigan that have some choice words for our governor. But you know what I wish? I don't wish to call her any names. I just wish she'd repent and get saved. That's my desire. I am not happy that there's a Supreme Court opening right now because it means a Jewish woman died without Christ and is in hell right now. And it's all in God's hands. And I mean, I want a conservative Supreme Court. Please don't get me wrong. I want Supreme Court justices that will stand up for the right to life and be against abortion. I want a Supreme Court that will stand up for our right to bear arms. I want a Supreme Court that will stand up for religious freedom. They made some bad choices during this coronavirus thing, refusing to defend churches that wanted to meet. They clearly went against the Constitution, but you know what I would have much rather been at right here? A saved Justice Ginsburg, willing to make godly, righteous judgments and decisions. That would have been much more glorious in my mind, where she could have undone, hopefully, some of the bad decisions. But 1 Timothy 2:3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have who? All men to be what? Saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That is God's will. So it's never been his will for just the Jews to be saved. Even Solomon, when he had his dedication prayer for the temple, acknowledged in that people across the whole world would come and recognize the true and the living God at the temple. So, how would God save all these people? How does he save anyone? Well, back in Galatians 3:8. Galatians 3:8. In the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify who? The heathen through what? Faith. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham. So, the gospel, once again, is not something new to the New Testament. It says right here that God preached the gospel to Abraham. And there's always only been one true gospel. Let's remind ourselves back in chapter 1 and verse 6, Galatians 1:6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would what? Pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So, let's go to number 5 then. Blessing comes by faith, not by works. Galatians 3:9. Down to verse 9, Galatians 3:9. So then they which be of faith are what? Blessed with faithful Abraham. Do you feel blessed tonight? You know, if we do not feel blessed, you know what our problem is? Well, we may have many problems. But one of our problems, we don't appreciate what we have. That's why we don't feel blessed. Look with me, please, in Psalm 103. We are no different than the children of Israel who got used to the manna, got tired of the manna, started complaining about the manna, and they were not thankful for food, fresh bread every day, fresh flour. Now, they had to grind it and make it into cakes. But Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not what? All his benefits. Well, Lord, what have you done for me today? Everything seems to be going wrong, Lord. Oh, wait a minute. We should think on verse 3, who what? Forgiveth all thine iniquities. You know what? If you're saved, there's always a great blessing, isn't there? To be saved, to be forgiven. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The problem is, if we don't feel blessed, we're just taking things for granted. We don't appreciate all that we have. We had a missionary come from the Philippines once years ago, and he stayed with Brother Jerry Snyder. And Brother Jerry Snyder had a garage with an automatic garage door opener on it. And that missionary from the Philippines, he came to church talking about it, he says, I just can't believe it. In America, you build houses for your cars. You build houses for your cars. And you have automatic doors that come up, and I mean, he was just in awe at all the things we have. So if we don't feel blessed, we better stop and just start counting our blessings, because we have many blessings. Verse 9, Galatians 3:9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And blessing comes by faith. If the highest attainment that could be gotten in life could be gotten through works, then we wouldn't seek God. We wouldn't seek his blessing. And that's the very reason that's brought out in the scriptures, that because a person has no changes, therefore they don't fear God. You know, when Satan accused Job, well, God, what do you expect? Yeah, Job, does Job serve you for naught? You put a hedge about all that he has. You're protecting all that he has. What more could he want? He's the greatest man, the most wealthy person. He has 10 children. I mean, come on, Lord, who wouldn't serve you? Just look around. How many very wealthy people serve God? Have you ever heard anything that Bill Gates has done for the cause of Christ? I haven't. He's done a lot around the world for family planning, which amounts to abortion. Have you ever heard anything that Jeff Bezos has done for the cause of Christ, the owner of Amazon? I haven't. Probably been a couple years ago or so, but he was up cross-country skiing, and I think in some European country, and he must have tweeted out or something about he thought that was heaven. I mean, he really was mocking the Bible, and he just thought that was heaven out there skiing. No. Have you ever heard of any spiritual thing that George Soros has done with his money? No. So what Satan was accusing Job of, it's pretty amazing when a rich man serves God. That's pretty amazing. Because it's hard for a man who has many things, very wealthy, it's hard for a man like that to depend upon God. That takes humility to do that. When we go to God asking for things because we don't have an endless bank account. But wealthy people many times are tempted to just, hey, I don't need God. I'll just buy it on my own. So the blessings of God. Blessing comes by faith, not by works. And speaking of Abraham, let's go to Genesis 21. Genesis 21 and verse 22. Genesis 21, 22. You stop and think about it. When people look at us, now, in your line of work, for you men, or you ladies, in your own realm, if you are deemed successful in whatever realm that you fill that spot, do people look at you as the reason of the success, or do they look at God as the reason of it? In Genesis 21, 22, the Bible says, and it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, what? God is with thee in all that thou doest. If you are very successful in your work, is that what lost people will say? They will not, unless you deflect all the glory to God. Otherwise, they'll say, wow, you are really good. You are really great in what you do. You're wise. You're smart. They will lavish praise on you. It's kind of like in the township meeting. It's like, you know, everyone's a friend of the one who gives gifts. You know, everyone's a friend of the rich. And so people stand up and praise the rich, hoping for favors. But here, Abimelech acknowledges the fact that it's God that is with Abraham. God is with thee in all that thou doest. And then verse 23, now therefore swear to me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son. Wow, he's concerned not only about himself, but his son and his grandchildren. But according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. Isn't it amazing? Sojourn means a temporary stay. Abimelech is acknowledging that Abraham's just there temporarily, but he's blessed of God. I just wonder in our lives, how many times do we give God the glory? And you know, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. So if we don't give God the glory for the little things, if we don't start there, we're not going to suddenly start. So it just needs to be a way of life that we glorify God. And the interesting thing is the same man is going to come to Isaac later on. Notice in chapter 26, the same man and his general, Abimelech and Phicol. Genesis 26:23. Remember, God said of Abraham, he knew that he would train his children after him in the ways of the Lord. Genesis 26:23. This is speaking of Isaac, and he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will what? Bless thee. And multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech, here we go again, same man, went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzzah, Zath, one of his friends, and Phicol, there he is again, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certainly that what? The Lord was with thee. How did they know the Lord was with him? Isaac had to give the glory to God, or they wouldn't have said that. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now what? The blessed of the Lord. You know, Abimelech was powerful. He's always taking his general with him, whether he's talking to Abraham or talking to Isaac. He's a powerful man, and he's bringing his general with him just to emphasize that. But deep down, Abimelech has a fear of Abraham and now of Isaac because he knows that God is with them. You know, our greatest ideas, our highest achievements, are nothing without the Lord's blessing. You know, Solomon had probably the greatest opportunity of any one man in all of history, Solomon, to do the world's greatest works. He had the most money, and he had the most wisdom. What a tremendous opportunity, but this is what he said. Notice in Ecclesiastes 2. Ecclesiastes 2, starting in verse 9. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 9. Solomon said, so I was what? Great. And increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also what? My wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. Remember, we're talking about works versus faith. I rejoiced in all my labor. What has he said about God thus far? What glory has he given to God for anything thus far? I don't see anything. And he goes on, my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all what? My labor. There's a lot of my's in there, isn't there? But no mention of God. And so what happens when that's true of our lives? Verse 11. Then I looked on all what? The works were faith versus works. On all the works that what? My hands had wrought. And on the labor that what? I had labored to do. And behold, okay, this is a math equation. my labor, my desires, my works, my. Finally, we're drawing the line. We're going to add all these up. And here it is. Behold, all was what? Vanity. He come up with a big zero, putting all of his great wisdom and his money and his works and his ideas and his imagination equals zero. All was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no what? No profit. Well, you know what happens when you work all year and your net income is no profit? Well, that's what he's saying. His life ended up a zero. His life. You know, our best works are all vanity. We so much need God's blessing. God's blessing. In closing, let's go to Matthew 11. You know what we need? We just need to humble ourselves before God. Not offer to him our empty works. What we need to do is come by faith to him. In Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will what? Give you rest. That's what we need. We need to come to him by faith for rest. And what's he going to tell us to do? Well, I'll tell you what you do. You just go on a six-week cruise. Just take it easy. No. Verse 29. Take what? My yoke upon you. A yoke is work. When work needed to be done, they yoked two animals together because one couldn't do the job alone. And you know what I found in my life? And I think you found the same thing. We can't do anything alone. We can't accomplish anything. You know, in construction work, it is really tough to do much alone. It's really tough. There's just not a lot you can do alone. So many times you need at least two or more. So he says, take my yoke upon you. And what? Learn of me. You know, we are so enamored with ourselves and our accomplishments. He says, learn of me. Get in the yoke with me. I'm not just going to go tell you to lay down. I'm going to tell you to get in the yoke with me. Let me show you something. Learn of me. For I am what? Meek and lowly in heart. You know, sometimes you may start working with someone and it may go well, it may not, but with Jesus, he says, I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what? Rest in your soul. So the way to find rest is to get in the yoke with him. Last night, I had the weirdest dream. I was dreaming, and I thought of Brother Mark Walker, but I couldn't think of his last name. And so in my dream, I'm thinking, Lord, I'm getting older, you know, like I need to be able to remember things. And so, Lord, what is his name? I'm dreaming and I'm praying, Lord, please help me to know what Mark's last name is. I was thinking a W, but I was trying to put all these things and nothing worked. And I said, well, I know his sister is Denise. What was it before? Denise what? I know his sister is Holly, but what was her last name? Holly what? I know his mother is Sue, and I'm thinking, Sue? I can think of her first name, but what was that last name? Her dad, or Mark's dad is Dennis. Dennis what? I'm Kevin, another brother, what? I'm going through all the family names, and all I can remember is their first name, and I'm praying, Lord, please help me. It's in my mind somewhere. What's happening to my mind? And finally, the Lord brought it. And I just think, Walker, there it is. We need God's help for the simplest things. And so he tells us, get in the yoke with him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So then I could rest after that. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Galatians 3, it's works. We've just seen time and time again, the works fail, but it's the faith. The faith is what we need and to get into the yoke with our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words from your word tonight. And Lord, without you, we can do nothing. We need your blessing. Our ideas, our works, our words don't accomplish anything. Lord, we need your blessing. And we know that there is no way that we can work for your blessing. It's a faith thing. And Lord, we do humble ourselves before you, and we come to you, Lord, asking for your blessing, like you put upon Abraham, like you put upon Isaac. And I pray, Father, that we would not be like Solomon in Ecclesiastes 2, just talking about all the things we have done. Because we know if we do that, our equation will end up the same thing as Solomon's. No profit, zero. So Lord, we rest on thee tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymn.